Blog Talk Radio.
All right, here we go. Well, good evening to everybody. Today is November the 8th, 2018. This is Dr. Nate Dunlap welcoming you on behalf of the PRF table. I am one of the gracious hosts of this wonderful show that comes to you every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And sitting here at the table with me, as always, is none other than Mary Ann Williams around the table. Everybody here calls her mama, so you can call her mama too. Mama, good evening to you.
Good evening, Nate, and how are you doing this evening?
Oh, I have been better, but I'm doing pretty good.
And I want to say good evening also to the PRF family, and want to thank you so much. And this has been said often, and it will continue to be said often because we want you you to know that we appreciate you taking out the time to take a seat at the table. We really do appreciate you. And excuse me. And I turn this over to Nathaniel. Excuse me.
All right, Mama. Hope that cough gets a little bit better, or a whole lot better by the time we get to the end of this show. All right, so listen, we're talking about canceling holiday debt. Last Thursday we had with us a guest, Saeed Abdul Kabir. We call him the professor. He is one of much wisdom. If you can go back to the archives and listen to other shows that he's been on throughout the years here at the PRF table, he always comes with some solid wisdom. So he's maybe joining us or should be joining us momentarily. But, Mama, we're going to go ahead and get into it. So what we came up with to bring to the people was, although we're talking about canceling holiday debt, and the title of that, Mama, actually kind of sounds crazy because the holidays haven't happened yet.
Yes, that's right.
However, if you think about it, and I mentioned last week that there are plenty of Black Friday sales that have already gone on.
Yes.
Through, I hate to say, Home Shopping Network and some of those type of television programs. You know, that's already happened. And so since we know that's already happened, I don't believe that everybody who's purchased something where they say you can get five of these for $29.95 a month. I just think that everybody who purchased something did it cash. I believe that there's people that may have purchased some of what they purchased with the in-store credit that they provided to them, or just put it on your credit card and we'll automatically charge you. I just believe that everybody who made purchases just didn't make purchases with money that they already had saved up. So we're trying to be two things. We're trying to be two things for the people. One is giving them some tools, one that will be proactive, and also some tools of recovery. Because it's not going to take until January for some folk to have to recover from what they do during the holiday season. Some folk are going to have to start recovering right after Black Friday. After they realize, Mama, I shouldn't have spent this last weekend. They're going to start recovering before Jesus' quote-unquote birthday come around.
Yes.
When they realize, you know what, I didn't get as much in my bonus as I thought I was going to get. I thought I was going to get some extra money. So it's going to be necessary for a lot of folk to cancel some of this holiday debt before the holidays even hit them. And so we're going to cover two things. We said last week that we were going to focus on the proactive side of things this week, and then we'll move into some of the recovery items. We talked about a few, but we wanted people to have a very good list that they can go by. And we're so grateful for Saeed last week, who worked with us in our dialogue and in our conversation to help us to flush out some things that we want people to be thinking about as we're talking on this subject of canceling holiday debt. One thing that he mentioned was that we need to, or you need to assess your debt. If we're going to talk about canceling holiday debt, you need to assess your debt. Don't have this mindset, oh, it's just going to go away. Excuse me. No, it's not. There's some folk that have holiday debt that's still sitting on their credit report 6 years later. It just does not go away. Right? So assess your debt, where you are and with your debt level, not just your holiday debt, but your whole debt, everything that you have. Assess that during the holidays before you start going out there spending. Another thing that he mentioned, number two, was stop spending frivolously. Stop spending all willy-nilly. We call that impulse buying. That's one way of spending frivolously. The third thing he mentioned was return unused items. There's going to be some items that some of y'all are going to get that you're going to say, I don't wear skinny jeans, but thank you, Mama. Maybe I'll go ahead and return those skinny jeans and get me some regular old Levi 550s and get $15 cash back. You know, they charge more for the stuff that don't take a lot of material, right? And number four, try not to fall for these, and I'll call them schemes. These schemes of no payment for 90 days or no interest for 60 days or no interest for a year. Don't just fall for those thinking that you're just getting good deals. Another thing was take into account your holiday bonus. If you're not going to get a holiday bonus until the 15th of December, it may not be a thing of wisdom for you to go out there on November 29th spending up all your money. Sitting on pins and needles, like you can go ahead and like you control the time. Like you're going to be the one that's going to bring in the time a whole lot quicker so you can hurry up and get to the 15th so you can get some relief. Truth of the matter is, it's a holiday bonus. You may get it or you may not get it.
I get it.
If something should happen where that bonus does not come in, Mama, you can't get mad that you done spent your rent money.
Right.
Right? Number six, check your credit.
Right.
Check your credit, check your credit, check your credit. Check your credit before you go out there spending credit during the holidays. Sounds really, really simple, but it's not. And we understand it. For some, it's not. So we're not going to say that everything we're talking about is just so simple and easy, right?
Yes.
The seventh thing was set reasonable goals. You can't buy for everybody on your block if you know you're making minimum wage.
Amen.
And you know you don't have hardly any money saved up in a savings account anywhere. Set reasonable goals. Say, you know what? I got three children. I buy three gifts. I'm not going to buy for my auntie. I'm not going to buy for my uncle. I'm not going to buy for mama and daddy. I've got three children. I'm going to buy three gifts. That's reasonable.
Yeah.
Anything else, they're going to have to wait until, and let's see if I get this bonus.
And I can add.
Go ahead.
Excuse me. When you were little, and I,
well, Mama, hold on. Let me get to this last one.
Okay.
Only one left.
All right.
And the last one is get help.
Oh, yes.
See, we mentioned seven things last week, and I just ran them down to you. The eighth one is, you know, eight is in biblical numerology. Eight is the number for new beginnings. So you may not know how to do some of the things that we mentioned. So why not get help?
Right.
Why not ask somebody? Why not contact us and say, hey, you talked about checking your credit. I want to put some stuff on credit and buy some things on credit. I can handle the payments for the next year. paying $30 a month. I can handle that, but I don't. You're talking about checking the credit. I really don't understand why I really need to check my credit. I know I have the money on the card. Well, you may need for us to be able to say, but listen, your card has 24% interest on it. Look right here on your statement, sir. Your statement says that you're going to pay 24% interest because that's the type of credit card that you have. So now let's look at, you can pay $30 a month, your minimum, but how long is it going to take for you to pay that on the long haul?
Yeah.
You say you'll take, because you may be thinking, I'm going to spend X amount of dollars and I'm going to spend $30 per month. But that may just be the interest at 25% interest. So it's going to take you longer than the 9 or 10 months that you say, because you're just doing simple math. So those are the things of assessment or things of the recap. And Mama, go ahead. I'll let you jump on in here now. And what we're going to do after that.
Yes.
Is really focus on the proactive side of things. We're not going to talk about everything on this list, but we are going to talk about how to be proactive right now. So please, Mama, go ahead.
Yes, I was saying that after Christmas, you know, you can tell, at least that's what I did for you, after Christmas, I mean, things are marked down. You know, and so if you want to buy for people, just wait and tell them, you know, I'm going to buy you something after Christmas, because they could get it for half price or even lower than that.
Sure thing. Well, listen, Mother, we have just, for those who are just joining, we have just kind of ran down the list that we talked about last week, and now we're going to start talking a little bit about the proactive side of things. So we are fortunate enough, once again, to have Saeed with us. So we're going to go ahead and bring him into the conversation. Hopefully he's ready. Saeed, are you ready?
I'm with you. Thank you, folks. How are you? How's everyone? How are you, Mama?
I'm feeling pretty good. Thank you.
Good.
All right. So
yeah,
Saeed, my brother.
Yes.
We knew you. I said he jumped on, so I'm not gonna put him too much on the spot, but I'm gonna let everybody know that he's here, because you know they don't want to hear me, they want to hear from the professor. So
let
everybody know the professor with us. So they don't hang up their phones and jump off the internet and all that good stuff. But,
I thank you. It was ironic that you had this conversation, because I was, again, as I said last week, on understanding lecture was on budgeting and finances, and it just so happened to work out that way. And one of the things I brought up with them in the class was that, you know, holiday spending, as you had pointed out last week, you know, can end up being something that takes us 6 months to get over. You know,
we
start spending, and if you end up finding yourself, you've overspent here, you've maxed out a credit card there, you've used some money that was supposed to be saving for something else here, and so forth. So, and like Mama said, one of the ways of getting around that is being mindful of what you spend and when you spend it, i.e., you know, it's great to go running out for that Black Friday sale, but you realize that most stores mark their prices up to give you the sale off the prices. So you're better off not running to the Black Friday sale. You're better off waiting till the middle of the week after the sale, because now they're going to mark some of that stuff down because it didn't sell on Friday.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, you know what? The extended family, you know, like my mom. My mom likes to buy presents for everybody and everyone else on top of everybody. One of the things I, you know, I'm like, listen, if they're not going to be at your house on Christmas Day, buy their present after Christmas and drop it off. They won't know the difference. Wrap it up in a beautiful bow. They won't know the difference that it was bought before Christmas, after Christmas, whatever. You're not going to see him until February. Don't buy it till January 29th. I mean, that is the reality of it. We have to be very smart with the spending. I'm not sure what you touched on earlier, but one of the things we talked about last week is just to make sure that people understand, it's the thing I talked to them in class. I'm not going to tell you not to go out and spend. It's not my place to tell you how to spend or how to budget your money. But what we have to start thinking about collectively as minorities, collectively as people who want to see ourselves in a better light, we want to see our children in a better position than we are in, we have to just start being very smart with how we spend our money. And it starts with not letting the holiday emotion override your financial sensibilities.
That's good.
So think about that, folks. That's really what we're talking about in this show and what we talked about last week. And I'm pretty sure we'll continue to talk about this as we go along. Do not let your emotions overrun your sensibilities. That's really it. And if you can wrap your head around that concept, everything else that we're saying will become easier.
Right.
Because it's our emotions that gets in our way.
That's right.
With that song, emotions make the world go round.
Well, but it does. But the thing of it is we think about it. You know, I hate to put the labeling on things. But I hate to put the labeling on things because I don't really like to pigeonhole people into any particular category, because we all have different experiences. We have different things that we're dealing with. We're coming from different aspects of life. However, the one thing that has been shown time and time again is that when people spend on impulse, if they spend on emotion, or they spend when they're hungry, and I don't mean just physically hungry, but hungry for something, or they're going through something, they're going through an emotional time, they're going through a hardship, we tend to spend more frivolously during those times.
Mm-hmm.
And the holidays, believe it or not, they stir up a lot of emotion in people. And because they stir up emotions, some of the emotions bad, some of the emotions are good, some of it's regret, some of it's missing. Some of it is, and we tend to, and it is in those moments that we tend to make the not so smart decisions. So if I had to give one advice to this week, it is, as you go out to spend, make sure you're in a good place emotionally. If it's a bad weekend, don't go out that weekend and spend. Don't use that weekend. Find that weekend to find someone you can talk to. Maybe, you know, you can meditate, maybe go to the church. You can talk to, you know, family members. You can find that time to wind down. But when you're in only shop, try to only shop when you're in a good place emotionally.
That's good.
So here's what I'm going
to say. Never go to the grocery store hungry.
That's the only time I go to the grocery store is when I'm hungry. That's why I spend $25-$30 every time I go. Went to buy some doggone soup, and next thing you know, I buy expensive stuff. I don't buy cheap stuff. So I'm gonna hit on one of the elements of being proactive with canceling holiday debt. And one thing I recapped on was it may sound crazy that we're talking about canceling holiday debt when the holiday is not even here yet. And as I said, I've already seen plenty of TV shows for the past month that have had Black Friday on there.
Black Friday sales on,
you know, the shopping networks. And, you know, I'm not supporting them, but I've seen it. I took a picture of it one day. I was like, man, this is just the beginning of October. So if those things are already out there, then we have to be cognizant enough to know that they're already attending to, and this, you know, piggybacks off of your point, they're already attending to the emotionalism of people, of human beings.
Yep.
Man,
absolutely.
You can get a jump on Black Friday. You don't have to go outside. Think about it. They have what's also called Cyber Monday, right? So
yep.
All you got to do, it's like Cyber Monday. When is it? Some folks don't know. They could put Cyber Monday on Tuesday. Folk will go and buy that stuff on Tuesday because it gives the appearance that they're getting some good deals. So to be proactive, I wanted to look at the first thing that you said last week was assess your day.
Yep.
And we're just going to hit on these couple little points. But I thought about, okay, what does that mean, assess your debt? We know that one way to assess your debt is by looking at your budget, or the softer terminology in today's timing is spending plan. For us here at PRF, we don't focus too much on budgeting. We focus on, we have a lesson called personal financial inventory, which we see as a precursor to budgeting.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first thing you have to do if you're talking about budgeting or having a spending plan is you got to get all your stuff together.
Right.
You can't get a spending plan and or try to put a budget or spending plan together if you have 20 bills but you only got about three of them. I think I know what the other ones, I think I pay $40 for this every month. Well, what's your interest rate? It's about this. That's going to mess you up. So in order to do a good assessment of your debt, I would say from a PRF perspective, you need to be contacting us saying, listen, show us how to do a personal financial inventory. And the reason why I like the personal financial inventory before the spending plan, and I call it the precursor, is because, Saeed, you know this, budgeting is one of those things. It's not the hardest thing to do, but it's challenging and difficult for some folks. It's not about the math. It's about what people have to put on there. It's like, oh, my goodness, I really don't have too much, so I really don't want to deal with it. And I'm like, listen, you're going to have to do this one way or the other. One way or the other, you're going to have to put out there, put something out there to be able to say, here's what my X's are, here's what my O's are. And you want to go buy a car. You're going to have to do some of the elements of it. So might as well do it while you can.
You know, I was just going to piggyback on you, I think, but one of the reasons why most people don't quote unquote budget or do the inventory before they sit down is because what we perceive as what we have and what we don't have is normally based on the big ticket items, you know, my
right.
mortgage or my rent. My car note,
mm-hmm.
you know, my grocery bill, you know, my utilities. And I think that doing the inventory first, especially if you're doing it before the budget, allows for you to also pull in the things that most people don't think about, which is the biggest killer of a budget, discretionary spending.
Mm-hmm.
If people would just take account of how much they spend on the smallest of things. I think I said it last week, you know, the $3 sandwich, the $2 coffee.
Right.
Because what happens is when I don't, if I don't look at myself in the budget mirror, then I don't feel bad about me spending all of that money every week.
Mm.
See, that's the biggest reason why I think most people don't truly like the budget. I don't think it's because they don't think they have anything. It's because it makes you look in that mirror and realize how much you're wasting.
And that becomes scary. That becomes scary.
That becomes real scary. No, it becomes real scary.
It's a thing of accountability.
I know it was scary to me. It was scary to me. You know, because listen, it's a challenge for me. I'm not, you know, I teach this every day, and it's still a challenge where I have to go and I ask myself, you know, okay, you know, what did I spend this week? Okay, where am I at on that platform? And I tell you, there's moments where I sit in the car. Before I get out the car, I have to go and take a few deep breaths because I'm like, okay, you know what? God, help me through this, because it is really a point where you have to truly get to a point where you're really ready to control your finances, to control your urges, to control all the things that, quote unquote, the devil's going to get in your ear about. You have to have peace in yourself. You have to have peace with yourself. You have to have that recognition that, one, I can't do this by myself, so God, I need your help. Two,
right.
I need to listen to what you have told me through your books, through your lessons of how to avoid the temptations that come with finances and financing and all the other stuff that comes with it. And then I also have to be willing to look in the mirror and say, I want better.
That's good.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I'm going to jump into another one because I felt it was really tied in. Number four was try not to fall for the no payment. No payment for 6 months. No payment for 90 days.
Yeah.
No payment thing. And I like how you put it last week. We got about 5 minutes left, but I like how it was put last week. It was try not to. See, a lot of times people get told what to do a lot. But when you tell somebody, listen, just try not to do it. You know, it's like somebody who smokes cigarettes. You know, we know that ain't good for you. And look, you just need to stop smoking. Maybe the better approach is, look, man, you're smoking a pack a day. Can you try to smoke a half a pack a day? Just try it for one day.
Right.
You know, sometimes we can go a softer approach for these things that we know are a little bit, challenging. So when it comes to those 6 months, listen, I get it. I want to say this out loud for everybody here. I get it. Trust me. If I needed to do some work on my house and Home Depot right now says, hey, we're going to give you 6 months no interest, I may go ahead and put that and get that and take them up on that offer, right? Because I'm saying, I don't have the cash. If I didn't have the cash, and I can worry about the interest part later because I know their credit cards already got high interest of 20%, which takes me back to this point. The reason I'm bringing that up of trying not to fall for it is because this one right here, Saeed, I don't know if you picked it up. Excuse me. Is directly tied into assessing your debt. See, you can't say that you're going to pay off something in 6 months if you don't know what you're already working
with.
If all you know is tight, right? I just know it's tight right now. Well, how much more tighter do you think it's going to be once those 6 months are up, right? So
right.
I'm going to encourage everybody as you take that into consideration. Focus on assessing your debt. Don't get into more debt without assessing where you are before you even go into it. And then I also have to say this, the emotional piece. The emotional piece is critical when it comes to those particular things of no interest for this and 6 months free interest and no payment for 90 days. There has to be a very good reason of why I don't want you to pay me for 90 days. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. I don't want you to pay me for 90 days on this $4,000 that I gave you at 22% interest. You know why? Because what you've spent on during this time period, you got attached to. You got attached emotionally to it. If you brought stuff, that TV you brought, you attached to that TV. You're not thinking, you know what? I don't want that no more. Let me go ahead and get that back to the credit card company that I, because first of all, they're not going to take it. They don't want you to think about your debt for that period of time so that when it hits you, it's like, oh my goodness, I forgot I had to pay this. So these things are interrelated, the assessing the debt, and we'll go over a couple more minutes. But assessing the debt and not falling for the interest-free thing, and the last thing I'll say on that is this. If you go out there, it's going to come to you. If you go out shopping, there's going to be some fine lady at the beginning of a department store with a clipboard that's ready and willing, and they're going to be more enforced during the holidays because they hire more people to do this during the holidays. And listen, I'm going to say this. I'm just going to make a joke out of it. They ain't hiring no ugly folk to do that. I'm telling you what I know. I live in a military town. I ain't never seen no ugly person sitting there with a clipboard, teeth all raggedy. Hey, you want to sign up for this basic credit card? Mm-mm, they be fine, brother. And guess what I ain't never, guess what else I don't see? I don't see no dudes. I don't see no hard legs. Hey, bro, you want to sign up for this credit card? Mm-mm.
It's because it's the emotion. It's the emotion attached to it. And you know what? The funny thing, it's a joke, but that pretty woman will sell just as quickly to another woman as she would a man. And not because of anything other than they appeal to the emotion of you, and it's a holiday, and they tell you, you know what, you can get it, and you don't have a payment for the next 30 days. They lower their credit criterion. So if every other time of the year you needed a 650 to get the card, during the holiday you only need a 600 or 580, you know, and then you get approved. So it is to the emotion of it. So it really isn't. It really. That's why I say, you know, go out, be very disciplined in your spending. Make sure you have assessed what you got. Okay, you know what? I owe $1,000 in my budget already. I can't only make a payment of another $100 before me and the kids are hungry. Then you know you can't go out there and spend $150.
Right.
But you don't know what that limit is until you assess your debt. And I will go back to when you are assessing your debt. One of the things, please, I'm going to say this. I know budgeting is not rocket science. There's a bunch of stuff out there. You can get it online. You can download a budget spreadsheet. You can put it in your phone, and they got things to do it all. Be honest with yourself. Be honest. Look in that mirror and be honest. If you have to buy the $5 Starbucks coffee every single morning, that is a budget item. If you go to the, you know, if you and your girls go out every Friday and you get your, you know, you get your party on, even if you're only spending $20, that's a budget item. If you and the fellas get together every Sunday, and, you know, you rotate who has to buy the pizza, that's a budget item. You know, put all that stuff in there, because the holidays come around, your habits don't change.
Amen.
They actually magnify.
Yes, they do. No, they really do.
Yeah. They magnify because of the emotion of it. And see, everybody who truly knows me, y'all, they know I'm not a holiday person. It's like, okay, it's Christmas, right? It's just, that's just me. I'm not getting wrapped around an axle. I'm the guy that will buy Christmas gifts on December 24th. It's like, hey, what didn't you get for mom? Okay, all right, I guess I go to the store before they close at 6 o'clock and get what mom wanted that somebody didn't get her. You know what I'm saying? That's just me. I've been in the military, right? So I've traveled. So it's not like I've been home every holiday, right? So I come home and I bring my Christmas gift when I come home in June. You know what I'm saying? It just is not the big thing for me. So I don't have the struggle. I don't have the emotional attachment that a lot of people have. So when I speak personally, it's not because I'm so controlled. I want people to understand that. It's not because I'm so controlled and so disciplined. It's because I don't have the emotional attachment. That's it. Now, just because I don't have that emotional attachment, like I see a lot of other folks, gives me the insight to be able to see the craziness that y'all go through. And be able to say, I see why you're in that situation a couple of months afterwards, which is why we talk about it beforehand, because we're trying to be proactive with folks. I do want to mention one of the other items that I think will kind of work really, really good is checking your credit.
Excuse me, Matt. Okay.
Go ahead, Mama.
Oh, I was just going to say that the food that's being bought, that's also is a budget item. Because
oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. See, we're talking about debt. Now, the fact that I go out and I buy all this good food, this turkey and a ham, you don't buy a turkey and a ham no other doggone day, so why all of a sudden it's three of y'all, you got to have a turkey and a ham. You know what I'm saying? But I joke about it because I see the craziness. I'm like, why you got to have a turkey and a ham in five sides? Like, really? So,
oh, because it's the holiday, Nate.
Don't forget the
I
big
know.
But
you,
it's
but
the
your
holiday. We got to do it for the holiday.
Your fridge ain't
I know
so
we're not,
big.
I know we're not going to eat. I know we're not going to eat all this food, but it's the holiday.
So listen, I'm good. Let's just cook it and say we want to do this because it's a festive time. However, if you have not assessed where you are, and you went out there and you brought all that because of the holiday, shame on you. Because truth of the matter is...
Well, you know
is,
what? I'm going to go and take this a little bit to the left just because I really think that this is... You know what? If let's go and say, Nate, you know what? It's the holiday. I am going to buy that turkey and that ham, and I'm going to go, and I know it's only me and my wife and my daughter. You know what? I'm going to go get God's blessing with it. If you're going to do it, do it. But turn it into a blessing. You know all that extra food? Go feed the homeless.
Mm.
You know all that extra food? Go find a shelter that's where we got people who are maybe don't have. And then, at least if nothing else, you ask God to turn that into a blessing that maybe that debt happens to go away.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Because... Here's the thing I do believe. I do believe that there are moments where you can turn, I don't want to say a sin into a blessing, but you can turn a fault into a blessing. Because if you know your emotion drives you to buy the holiday food or the holiday gifts and you sit there and you're now looking at it, I do believe God will bless you when you bless his creatures. When you do
Absolutely.
Things out of the goodness of your heart, when you do it truly for God's pleasure, and that is it, you're not looking for reward. You're not looking for somebody to pat you on your back. You're not posting it on social media how you went and fed 50 people. You know, you're doing it truly for God's blessings. I do really believe in my heart of hearts, in every prayer I made, that you can turn that into. I mean, and I'm not advocating to go out and buy the turkey and the ham, and you don't really need it. But if your emotions override you and you know you need to follow the holiday tradition, instead of letting the food go to waste or instead of it being in your refrigerator for 5 days in a row and you know everyone's not going to eat it one more time, take it out and feed the homeless. Find a shelter where the people can get fed.
Yeah, talking about I'm going to freeze it. I'm going to freeze it. No, you ain't.
Yes.
It has been in the refrigerator 3 days. If you're freezing, you're freezing on day two. All right, so I'm going to take it to another extreme. With the, and so I'm not even going to hit on the credit piece. We'll say that for next week. But let's go with the spending because and I want to make this point clear. Just because you're spending money during the holidays doesn't mean that you're spending frivolously. It doesn't mean that you're spending in a one-time manner, right? Reckless. Like, no, it doesn't mean you're doing like the prodigal son. It doesn't mean that. However, let's take what you just said. You know, people will buy stuff and spend frivolously with that heart of, I need to do this for some folks.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I need to do this for some other folks. And so I'm going to 100% agree. You know what? If you go out there and you say, you know what, I'm going to buy 10 turkeys for 10 families. I don't know who they are, but I'm going. That's what I feel in my heart to do. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I believe that you will receive a blessing for that.
Mm-hmm.
At the same token, it doesn't have to be an either or. It can be a both and. At the same token, it is still a thing of wisdom to be able to say,
yes.
Now, I done spent my rent money on these hams. Lord, I'm going to need you. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do, but you know what I'm saying? And I believe, because a lot of people, I'm telling you, a lot of people, like you mentioned, your mom likes to buy stuff just for everybody, right? My mom would have bought stuff for everybody, but heck, she couldn't hardly get it for us. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the stuff was rough when I was a kid. So I was fortunate
right.
enough to get stuff after the holidays. But there's some folks
right.
that just have really, really big hearts and know that there's people out here that don't have. They know that there's some, you know, every year. Guess what happens every year during the holidays? And I'm gonna take it to an extreme. Every year during the holidays, there's some houses that burn down and apartments that burn down. Every year. And
oh, yeah,
every
no.
year there's,
yes.
there's families that say or that we know need some help because everything they have is burnt up in a fire, whether it's a house, mobile home, trailer, apartment, or dorm. Every single year.
Right.
And there's always a cry to the community. I'm telling you, it's going to happen in Philly. It's going to happen down here where I live in the South. It's going to happen where Mama
yep.
lives, somewhere in North Carolina. It's going to happen, and then
yep.
people are going to want to come out there. So what I will say to that is this. Be cautious about spending frivolously just because everything is on sale. Because I can mark my words, there's going to be some people that's going to need some help. And those things that you may go out there and buy frivolously, recklessly, you're not going to take those things back to help the folk. Not going to do it. I ain't never heard somebody say, well, you know what, I'm going to take some of these gifts back let alone take the gifts back to get the money, but just give the gifts. Well, you know what, I know I got three kids, but they were burnt out in their apartment. So I'm going to take these three gifts that I have for my kids. We don't hear about those stories. And I believe that when people spend money all willy-nilly, they spend to their max. And then it's not there for other things like helping somebody that really needs some help. So I'm hoping with my crazy example that I just gave that people take in consideration, hold some back during the holidays. You may be able to spend it and it may not hurt you, but we don't know what's going to be a need in our own communities or even in our own families during the holidays. People die during the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
GoFundMe accounts are going up during the holidays. I'm not in a position where I can't go out and spend some money for that reason. That's not my plight. I don't have to say, well, you know what? I can't go and buy these five gift cards because, you know, in case something happens, somebody needs something. I'll be able to do both of those, and I'm thankful to God for that. But there's a lot of folk that's not going to be able to, and I just don't want folks to have the emotionalism, because that's what comes up. When the GoFundMe accounts come up because people are going to die without life insurance, somebody just died in New York. Matter of fact, Saeed, the person
yeah.
I connected you with, right? They contacted
right.
me because somebody connected to them, a gentleman, his wife or the lady, mother of his child, died. And they threw up a GoFundMe account. This is right,
right
before the holidays.
Right, right.
You see what I'm
oh,
saying?
Oh, no, yeah,
so.
Yeah, no, yeah. And I think just to kind of, I think I want to sew your thoughts together a little bit, if I heard them correctly. What I believe is trying to be said is that if you are that person who the emotions of the holiday wells up inside of you and you feel the need to buy, then just, we may not be able to quench that need. We may not even be able to talk you off the ledge. But what we are saying is if you have that need to buy, be mindful that you don't need to just spend it on the children who already have enough, or the people in your family, just because you want to give your cousin on your mother's side that's fifth generation removed.
Right.
If you got to spend it, if you feel emotion, then do it in the service of God. Do it in the service of God. Go out and give it to someone. Hold back a little bit and let that emotion ride into something that can carry beyond just the moment. Because when God gives that back to you, may not be in this same year. It may be the next year when you need it. Now it's being given back to you. So I think that, again, no one's going to ever be able to budget for you. No one's ever going to be able to spend or curb your spending for you. No one's going to ever truly be able to tell you how to spend your money. But what we can do is offer bits of advice that hopefully, number one, will help you reduce, remove, or eliminate future issues with your finances that come from holiday spending. What we're hoping to do is give you some nuggets of advice that maybe helps you re-navigate where you put the money, so that even when you overspend, you're getting something in return through the blessings that come with it.
Amen.
Or on the other end of it, you may take a moment and say, you know what? I heard what they said. I'm just not going to spend on this one thing. And just by making that one small change, you spark a pebble, a ripple effect that starts changing how you look at everything else around you. And then you, next thing you know, this time next year, you're more financially well off than you were the year before.
That's good stuff.
That's good.
Mama, any final thoughts before we shut it down? I figured this was just going to be one we was going to go over a little bit, but that's all right. That's all right. Any final thoughts before we go ahead and conclude for the evening?
I would sum it up. I would sum up the things that's been discussed tonight, Matt. You know, be reactive before you go spending. And in other words, the points that was shared tonight, and the first point was assessing your debt. You know, sit down and just sit down and put all your bills together, and then, you know, as has been spoken already, that when a person gets emotional about a thing, you know, you can turn it around. You can turn it around for good, because God says He turns everything around for good. That means, you know, even in the spending, you can share with someone and get a blessing out of it.
All right. Well, yes, we're gonna definitely proceed next week, going a little bit more into some of these other areas of being proactive. And so, Saeed, thank you, my brother, my friend, for being with us on the show tonight and also on last week. And we're going to come back next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, here at the PRF table, and try to do it again. So we pray that God has been very pleased with what we've provided to you.
Yes.
And at the same time, we pray that what you have heard, whatever has touched your heart, whatever you know without anybody else being able to sit there saying, that's you, that's your situation. You know down in your heart that something is stirring inside of you to make some necessary moves, necessary actions. So, again, Saeed, thank you. And we're going to do this again next week. This is good. I believe that people are being blessed who are listening. And the beauty of it is we never know how many people or who we actually going to affect, because this is radio. So if we were in a class where somebody signed up for this information, that would be one thing. However, this is radio, so we know and just trusting God enough that the people are listening, whether they listen now or through the archives. So, again, next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the PRF table. God bless y'all. Y'all have a wonderful evening.
God bless everyone. Thanks a lot.
God bless everyone, too. Thank you.